So I want to tell you a story today. It's not a story of adventure or discovery, save that it was an adventure in my faith and in my mind as I tried to figure things out. And so much of the Christian life is a faith seeking after understanding. And so I'll tell you that in my first call, Presbyterians talk about calls. Really, it's just the place you served. In my first call, I was an associate pastor for youth, college, and other duties as assigned. And so I served this 700-member church in Kentucky, and I was leading youth group, and my youth, and this was around 2000, between 2002 and 2006. So my youth, especially the older males, were absolutely captivated by Dave Chappelle and the Chappelle Show. Captivated. Like, and that's a socially acceptable way to talk about their obsession. They would leave youth group on Wednesday nights and go home, watch the Chappelle Show. And oftentimes, conversations and prayers at youth group were geared toward how thankful they were that they could leave and go home to watch the Chappelle Show. So I had to learn about who Chappelle was, and it turns out that's the last name of comedian Dave Chappelle. And so I was figuring that out. But what happened, of course, to Dave Chappelle was that he was offered a huge deal to continue with Comedy Central to the tune of like $54 million or $56 million to renew and to keep doing his thing. And he didn't. He walked away. And he disappeared. Well, that was very interesting to me. And then after a couple years, he sort of reappeared. And he did something that I thought was really interesting. And there was a documentary made about it. He threw a free concert in Brooklyn, New York. And so knowing that my youth group was sort of, at least some of them were interested in Dave Chappelle, and I was sort of interested now about this and come from a different direction, I rented, on my day off, I watched the documentary Dave Chappelle's Block Party. I wish that I could inflict that movie on you so that we could kind of talk about it in full, but it's almost 2 hours long, and that's not really the right amount of time for a sermon anymore. John Calvin could have shown it and then talked about it, and probably they would have had a lot of issues because you can't time travel. But at any rate, this is a trailer for it. It's about 2.5 minutes. It's the trailer. And this will give you just a little taste of what happens, and I can maybe explain a couple things more fully in a minute. But let's watch this trailer for Block Party.
We get in our Cadillac, like we always do, we go drive, go coffee. Next time we see Dave Chappelle.
Are you right here? So you have come to my Block Party in New York? It's in Brooklyn on Saturday.
Yeah.
silly. He's so silly. So it was, the block party took place in September 2004. I was watching this in the spring or the summer of 2005, and there was something about it as I watched the story unfold of how Dave Chappelle, who grew up in Washington, D.C., but spent some time in Dayton, Ohio, how he kind of interacted with the people near Xenia, Ohio, and Yellow Springs, and you know, went to the corner store and gave a golden ticket. You remember he said, "We Willy Wonka didn't even have as many as these." And he gave a golden ticket to different people, the two guys from Central State, the entire Central State marching band. And what the golden ticket meant was he would transport you by coach to the venue, put you up, give you per diem for food, and you could go to the show. That was amazing to me, just the generosity and the spirit in which that gift was offered. I was blown away, and I spent a lot of time trying to kind of figure out what was so amazing about that and so great about this movie. I could never quite put my finger on how it connected with me in such a mind, body, heart kind of a way. So fast forward about 5 years, I started a doctoral work at St. Paul's School of Theology, and I met, and we'll go to our first slide here. I'll go to the next one. That one's boring. So I met this guy, Robert Martin. Now, you guys, I want you to know, he's alive. So finally, all the people that are tired of dead theologians, I didn't get his report today, the EKG, to see how he's doing. But I believe he is alive and well, and he's actually in Washington, D.C. now. But Robert Martin talked to all his doctoral students about the Eucharistic pattern of existence. And that sounds incredibly fancy. But what it is, go to the next thing. He wants to talk about Eucharist and Eucharistic a little bit differently. It's the way we live in the world because of Jesus Christ. You guys are already, you may not have known this when you woke up today, you're already living the Eucharistic life, right? You probably didn't say that over the cornflakes. Well, it's just another day living the Eucharistic life. But you're living the Eucharistic life. And that's what's so important for Robert Martin. And so he explains the Eucharistic pattern of existence as gathering, offering, sharing, and extending. Now, when I learned about this as a tool, it helped me to understand the block party in a so much more robust way. Because what Chappelle was doing, even though he didn't know he was doing it, was he was simply living out the Eucharistic pattern of existence in a slightly more robust way. He gathered together lots of different people. He offered them this opportunity. They offered what they had. It was shared, right? So which involves giving and receiving. And then it was extended. And this pattern happened again and again in each moment from when the idea was conceived in his mind to when it was executed to when the film was wrapped up and was produced and given to people in video stores, if those still existed in 2005. So it's amazing. So let's go through this just real briefly. So the gathering portion you could think of as who or what's in your wallet, right? What do you bring with you into this moment? I love that opening hymn, gather us in, gather us in. Let us be gathered in. Let us gather together. Let's gather what energies we have. Part of gathering is choosing to leave things behind. So when you got in your cars today and traveled here, or when you walked over, you had to leave some things behind in order to come and be a part of this family of faith. So we bring what we have, and we also choose to not bring some things when we gather. And then after we gather, we offer. And maybe the best example of not just offering, but the Eucharistic pattern in general is to think about this. You're walking into your health club or your MAC center or YMCA or whatever. You walk in and you see a person, and they're looking at you. Well, now the Eucharistic pattern comes into effect. So next time you do that, you go, here comes the Eucharistic pattern. So you see them, and you decide to gather the energies you have in that moment, well, however little they may be, however weak, however strong, you gather your energies, and you offer a smile. You offer eye contact. right? And they offer theirs too. And it's shared. That smile is shared between the two of you. And then what's offered is received, is taken in, and then that's extended. That moment gets extended. They might be more likely to smile at the next person. You might feel good about how they didn't shun you. That might make you feel good. You might smile too at the next person. And so there's the ripple effect. And this happens. That's a little discreet, not very important moment, but it happens all the time. And that's what Martin wanted to talk about, was the way, and the extending is great. I always think about that. I always think of Emeril, right? Bam! Kick it up a notch. How that moment it exponentially, geometrically extended to the next. So let's go through John 6, and let me show you just a couple Eucharistic patterns that I can see in that passage. So let's just start with verse 4. The Passover is going to happen, and so this scene, the feeding of the 5,000, it was sort of juxtaposed to that. And Jesus goes up the mountain, and I love how Jesus, when he looks around and he sees the large crowd, I can imagine he gets that Jesus-y smile on his face, that wry smile, and he says to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat?" So Jesus has looked around, he's gathered together what he needs in that moment, and he's made an offering to Philip. He says to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Now John says in verse 6, he said this to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he was going to do. So he's offered something to Philip. Philip is not able to receive the offering in the way it's extended. He's not able to receive it completely, of course. Philip is instead offering something else to Jesus. A little bit of anxiety, we can sort of taste that. 6 months' wages would not be enough to give all these people, just a little. So Philip is not quite picking up what Jesus is putting down. But Andrew is. Andrew sort of maybe, he sort of receives it a little more fully. He's able to share what Jesus is offering a little more fully in this moment. And so he says, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Now what an amazing detail that's in this particular feeding of the 5,000 that's not in the other three. And that's a whole nother sermon about this boy and sort of the Eucharistic pattern going on in his life. But we'll just skip ahead. So Jesus says, "Make the people sit down." So that was one pattern, one sequence completed. This gathering, this offering, it's partially received, but it's more fully received by Andrew. And then it's extended now. This little ripple is extending out to the 5,000. So Jesus says, "Make the people sit down. Let's get them ready. Let's do the gathering thing again." So he gets them to sit down. And Jesus takes the loaves, right? He gives thanks. He offers the loaves. He shares the loaves. They're distributed to everybody. And this is extended in the satisfaction. It says, "When they were satisfied." All the people were satisfied with what they received. This offering is received and then is extended to all the people. You know, you think about how good it is after you eat a meal. How good the food is. And how the food does its work to give you energy so that you can move on to the next thing. Sometimes we forget that we're supposed to, what's the saying? Eat to live, not live to eat. So that's part of it. And then they're gathering again. Jesus turns around and says, "Gather up the fragments." And so they were. I find this so interesting, and I wanted to share it with you for a couple different reasons. One, because I felt so good personally and spiritually, that I had sort of threaded the needle in my own life. I had this mystery that was following me around. It was like Dave Chappelle and the Block Party was following me around for years. There was something about it that I couldn't quite put my finger on. I knew that the church could take a lesson from the generosity of Dave Chappelle and from the Block Party, but I just didn't. Was it just a one-to-one sort of thing, like Dave Chappelle did this nice thing, the church ought to do nice stuff too? That wasn't quite it. And so when I met Robert Martin and when I learned about the Eucharistic pattern, I was able to see how it was more robust and how in each moment we are living the Eucharistic life already. And that's the second reason why I want to share this to you, That's the second reason why I want to share this with you today, is that it's not that Jesus is inviting us to live the Eucharistic life. That's not it. We're already living the Eucharistic life. And Jesus is instead acting as someone who reminds us, who checks in with us. He says, how's it going in this Eucharistic life that you're living? How's it going for you? I am the bread, and I am the vine, and you are the branches, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing, but connected with me, you can do everything. How's it going for you as you live this Eucharistic life? I took this picture of down in, I think it's Sarasota, and there's a woodpecker in there somewhere. You'll just have to trust me. But as we think about the notion of the vine and the branches, I was thinking about the tree. You know, the tree has roots, the tree has a trunk, the tree has branches, the tree has leaves. And that just, everything reminds me of the Eucharistic pattern long enough. You know, you think about the roots and the trunk and the branches and the leaves, and they're all connected. And you think about a leaf, just looking at a leaf, and you could say, if it wasn't for that root, you wouldn't be here, leaf. We're all connected. And we're doing this, it's happening all the time. And so what I want to leave you with today, I'm really glad so many people are here and I have such a confusing sermon. This is great. what I want to leave you with today is that when we celebrate the meal at this table, I don't want you to think of it as only a ritual. It is definitely a ritual, right? But I also want you to kind of lay on top this idea that the Lord's Supper, when we share it, is a reminder to us of what is happening all the time. All the time we're gathered and something's offered and we share it and we extend it. All the time. Just like we do it at this table. We can live and we do live the Eucharistic life. May we live it more fully at our Lord's invitation. Amen.